stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up,
Your Honor.
I have no. That's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God saving grace. The blood was that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in.
Praise the Lord.
I stood there and wondered, how could this be? Born again.
I don't know about you folks, but that is a wonderful song, Forgiven When Mercy Walked In. I felt it fitting to play that song for our message tonight, because this is what we're going to be going through about mercy. And once again, it is Friday night. I welcome you here. I'm glad to see you. As always, like I always say in my introduction, you could have been elsewhere, but you decided to come here tonight. And thank the Lord for that, because, again, it's not about me. I'm never here to toot my horn. I'm not trying to, you know, to prove something to y'all. It's just something that I do each week when the Lord leads me to these messages. I'm willing to be His messenger. I'm willing to do whatever He asks me. And if you're willing to keep listening, then I'm glad that you are here. And also, I'm streaming this live on Facebook for our Facebook viewers. So welcome again. I'm glad to see you. Once again, so it is Friday night. Thank you for being here, and I'm really, really tickled pink to see all of you here. And yet, we do have video capabilities, so maybe next week I might go ahead and go open the video. Fred did see me what I look like, because I got a video on Facebook posted, so he knows what I look like now. So anyway, once again, I stand here before you as always. And yes, folks, I do stand. You know, I mean, that's just a habit. I got a little, it's like a little mini pulpit, if you want to call it that, what I was using in Sunday school class when I was teaching. But I do stand because I sit down and try to teach and preach, but it just, for some reason, I don't get it, but I do stand. But I was led to a message to preach, or led in a direction to speak on. I was thinking from last week's message, you know, okay, Lord, you know, I usually like to get started, you know, but, you know, a lot of times we got to be patient and we got to wait on God. But usually I got something rolling around in my head already on what I'm going to probably speak about. But we heard this song many weeks back, long before this lockdown came. Me and my wife was riding in the country with the convertible with the top down, and this song came on the radio, When Mercy Walked In. Wonderful song. I mean, I keep listening to it. I can't get enough of it, but it's a great song. And we was listening to it the other day. My wife said, well, why don't you do a message about mercy? Well, at first I kind of said, well, baby, it usually does not work that way. You know, it doesn't work by me forcing a message. It doesn't work by me trying just to make one up. You know, for those who come to me and say, hey, pastor, you know, you should do a message on so-and-so. You ought to do a message on this. You ought to do a message on that. And I kind of shake in agreement with it. But, you know, sometimes I try to ask the Holy Spirit, okay, do you want me to do a lesson on that or not, what they're asking? And usually he'll give me what I need. But most times I don't try to force it. But anyone who preaches to you will tell you, and I hope they say this, really, honestly, I hope they do. But anyone that preaches to you will tell you that usually they are led by the Holy Spirit to show them what to speak on. And yes, I will tell you this. Many times, myself, I have tried forcing a message. Yes, I tried forcing a message my way. You know, because I felt, well, this is what I wanted to do. I never listened to the Holy Spirit. So as I kept getting into it, guess what? It never turned out to be good. So that's why usually I sit here and I meditate and I read. And I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to speak about? And usually I let him do what he does best. He leads. He directs. He shows me what to speak on. And during my 10 years as being a minister, I've been born again for 17 years, but I've been 10 years as a minister. One thing I have learned is never to force a message. I learned that a long time ago, never to force something. It's best if I just wait. Well, to a surprise to many of you, and she will know who I'm talking about when I say who this is. But last Saturday in our audio room, a lady we have here tonight, she was talking about a lesson of sitting down at the feet of God and praying. And folks, if you have not been coming to Saturday prayer meeting messages, I encourage you, come. Oh, look, I tell you what, me and my wife, we've been sitting here listening to this dear lady, and I'm telling you one thing, she is bringing it. And it's really anointed. You can tell it's anointed. You can tell by the way she prays. And I'm not trying to toot your horn, you know, I don't want to mention your name, so I don't want you to get upset with me, but you're doing a wonderful job. But while we were sitting here listening to her lesson about sitting at the feet of God and praying, we learned that when we are praying, we must learn to be still in that process. Don't get all anxious. Don't get all squirmy. Don't get all, you know, hyped up. Don't get all like you're trying to force things. You just sit, be still, and pray. And don't force the prayer neither. You will hear me tell you this. Don't force that prayer. Just sit at the feet of God and pray. And you'll be amazed of the things that will happen. So while I was sitting there listening to her message, well, the message of mercy started rolling in my mind. So, okay, all right, I knew where I had to go. So when I started writing this message, what I normally do, I listen to other sermons. I do a little reading. I listen to a lot of songs. asking the Lord to inspire my heart and to direct me into the message of mercy. Because again, I started thinking, mercy. I mean, we can cover a broad range of what mercy is all about. I'm trying to sit here and think, Lord, you got to help me understand, because I don't know which direction to go with the mercy message. So here we are. And in much reading and research that I have found out, God is a God of mercy and grace. You get that, folks? God is a God of mercy and grace. How wonderful. I'm not going to try to change the subject real quick, but he's also a God of wrath and a God of judgment. But the more that you read and study who God is, it's mercy and grace. Now know this. Understanding mercy, my friends, is often difficult for people, as we tend to be what I call a generation of, I'll get him for that, or I hope they get what they deserve. I hope they go down badly. I hope their lives fall apart. You see, they have a hard time understanding what mercy is whenever they think that way. And many people have developed a nature of harsh criticism and want others to get what they got coming to them and then some. You see, many people have developed harsh criticism of other people because in their mind, they want something to happen to them. They want them to get what's coming to them. But that's not what mercy is all about. And folks, sadly, I hate to say this, but a lot of Christians think this way towards others. They do. I have encountered them. I have spoken to many of them. I hope they get what they deserve. Don't say that. That's why I firmly believe we don't have the full power of the Holy Spirit. Because again, you remember when, I forgot who it was, when he was talking to Jesus, Lord, why not we just cast down rain on them or fire? That's what he said. And the Lord rebuked him, saying, you do not know what you're saying. See, thank the Lord that we don't have the power to do what they did back then. Because whenever a lot of times we say, I hope they get what they deserve, can have catastrophic results. We should not be thinking this way. We should not be speaking this way. We should be doing what God does to us, shows us mercy. People make mistakes. People do wrong. It's our nature. Now you think about it. If God didn't give us mercy, we all right now in this room would be in bad shape. All of us would. Now let me ask you a question. When it comes to your relationship to God as an individual, to our relationship with God as a church, what would you say our greatest need is in your relationship to God, in your relationship to the church, relationship to your family, the relationship to Christ? What would you say is our greatest need? Think about that one. What is it above anything else that we need as we approach God? What is at the top of the list for prime importance? See? Think about that. But I will tell you, folks, I'm going to tell you what we need when we approach God. Because I know the answer. I see a few of you typing, you know, and I like the answers. Good answer. Good answer, R.W. Good answer, Villager. Think Child of Light just hit it. Here's the answer, folks. What we need as we approach God, it's mercy. It's mercy. Mercy, it is to be looked upon by God, not as we deserve to be looked upon, but looked upon favorably. This is what mercy is all about. It is a greater need than any other. Because without it, we can never, ever come close to God. Without mercy, we can never, ever come close to God. We can never seek His face. We can never, ever depend upon Him and call Him our Father. We, you and I, need His mercy. We need God's mercy. All of us. If you got your Bibles with you tonight, my friends, and it will be posted for you to read. If you got your Bibles, we're going to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And notice what it says. God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Whew, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, O Lord Jesus, we ask of You to come to us right now and give us the opportunity to meet with You face to face, heart to heart, mind to mind. And Father, right now, if there's anything within us that we have not confessed to You, if there's any sins that we have not repented of before we came to Your precious throne, we ask You right now, forgive us where we have fallen short of Your precious glory. Father, a lot of times we sin, we don't intend to sin, but we do. And Father, a lot of times, you know, if we sit here and think about what do we deserve, we all deserve death. That's what we deserve. But it's because of Your mercy, You grant us life. Father, I want to thank You for giving us that life. And Father, I ask of You, all those who are here today, those who are on Facebook watching right now, I ask of You to be merciful to them. I ask of You to anoint them. I ask of You, Father, in the name of Jesus, to be with them. And I ask You, Father, if they don't know Jesus right now while sitting here, if they don't know Jesus while listening to this message, if they don't know Jesus while watching this on Facebook, Father, by the time the message is this message is over with, I ask of You to touch their hearts and let them cry out to Jesus, say, Jesus, come into my life. I need You. I need You to save me because I am a rotten sinner. I'm a filthy sinner, and I need that cleansing of the blood. Grant me Your mercy and allow me to come into Your kingdom. Father, this is my prayer each day. I pray for the lost ones. I pray for those out there who need to know Jesus. I pray that they come to repentance, to come to their senses before it is too late. Because again, Your Son told us that He is the truth, the way, and the life, that no one else can come to You except through Him. And we all need Jesus Christ. And if anybody else is thinking, no, I can get to heaven another way, they are only fooling themselves. I ask of You to grant them mercy. I ask of You to open their eyes. I ask in the mighty name of Jesus, draw them to You, O Lord. At this time, we need Your mercy. We need Your grace. We need Your love. Father, I'm not trying to put on no show here because I'm a sinner myself. And I need your grace and mercy all the time. I must repent constantly. I must always submit myself to you. No one's perfect. And I thank you for your love and your grace and your kindness. And I ask of you to protect everyone that is in this room tonight, that's listening, that's watching. Let them be surrounded by the holy angels. And let them be taken care of. And shower your grace and your mercy upon them. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Now, those of you who are here in the chat room, y'all have seen the message flashed over and over and over. And I kind of got a feeling those of you on Facebook and those who's going to be listening to this message, you know I'm going towards mercy. And the title of this message tonight is When Mercy Walked In. Now, I want us to do a little something different tonight. I want each of you to sit there wherever you're sitting. Close your eyes. Now imagine for a moment that you are in a courtroom. It is a well-known scene, isn't it? And we often think about God's final judgment. Final judgment will come. It's going to happen. But you are right now in that courtroom. And we often think about God's final judgment as being like a courtroom scene. And that is often the way it is described in the Bible. Now imagine you are trying to argue your case for acceptance by God and entry into his kingdom. You're trying to plead your case. You're trying to show God, why should I enter into your kingdom? What would you say? How would you plead your case? Would the court find you not guilty? Knowing perfectly well that you are guilty and deserving death. Then all of a sudden, mercy walks in. Now listen to some of the lyrics of the song that we just listened to at the start of this message. Listen to these lyrics. I love them. And it says, I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty. Now, what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. But that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to stand God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. Praise the Lord. I stood there and wondered how could this be that someone so guilty has just been set free. My chains were broken. And I felt born again. The moment that mercy walked in. Oh, the blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven. When mercy walked in. Oh, God. Forgiven. When mercy walked in. If we don't feel like that right now, I say something's wrong. That's what mercy does. So in this message, I hope to show us what mercy does for us. And we're going to look at four applications as to what mercy really is. So the first thing that mercy does, it brings forgiveness. The first thing that mercy does, it brings forgiveness. And as we read in our reading scriptures, it tells us that fundamentally, God's mercy is all about forgiveness. It is a fundamental and prime requirement. People all over the world, all around this country, even in this room, or even those who are listening to this message, are thinking the same thing. They are thinking that they will be able to approach God on their own merit. It is human nature to think that way. It's human nature to be proud. But what the Bible does, it shatters our illusions of that thought. And they are illusions. If we're thinking that, there are. If you think you can approach God by your own merit, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Even your very best is not your absolute best. It's not enough to please God. That's what Paul writes to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 8. This is what he's telling us right here. Pay attention to these verses. Pay attention to what Paul is saying right there. And that's what he's saying. He said, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let me repeat that. Romans 8, 8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Go ahead thinking that you don't need Jesus. Go ahead thinking that I can approach God just the way I am. It's not going to happen, Captain. That's God's words. That's not me telling you this. I'm not here to tell you my opinions of what God's word says. His words is clear right there. It's saying right there, black and white, those in the flesh cannot please God. So the only way you can please God, you must be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ himself. You must repent of your old ways and be transformed into the new way and let the blood present his case. Because on your own, we're guilty. And if so, if we are to ever have a relationship with God, our prime need, our first need is this: to be forgiven. That's our prime need, to be forgiven. That's what God's mercy does. Whatever else our needs may be, they may be many. Our most important need is to be forgiven. Yes, God will certainly help us in other areas of our lives. But first and foremost, we need to see our need of forgiveness, which comes from the merciful God and nothing else. Nothing else. Sin is a relationship breaker. How many times, if you can even count them, has sin caused you problems? Has sin caused you difficulties in relationships? Has sin broken that intimacy with God? We all know this is true. This is what the blood of Christ does. It washes away all of those sins. That's why God's mercy is so great and so awesome. That's the only way I can describe it, because his mercy is unlimited. I'm going to get ahead of myself. But if we don't have his mercy, how are we going to know forgiveness? That's why we must exhibit that kind of mercy towards others. No matter what mistakes they made in the past, no matter what boo-boos they did, no matter what wrong they done, folks, we have to be merciful to them. We need to exhibit Christ-like mercy to those. Look, they may have made mistakes. They may have done wrong. But we're not their judge. We should show them mercy like God's showing us mercy. How much more in our relationship with the Lord of all of us knows that sin again is the relationship breaker. But however, God's mercy means that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not treat us like that. Because of his mercy, we are forgiven. Because of God's mercy, we are forgiven. Wow. The second thing that mercy does for us, it comes to us without limits. Mercy comes to us without limits. There is no limitation on mercy. None. How so? How do I know this? I told you I researched this before I went into this message. I asked the Lord, Lord, lead me to where I need to know so I can understand what I am saying about mercy to these kind folks tonight. He led me to Psalms chapter 86, verse 5. Psalms chapter 86, verse 5, which says this. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Wow. Here he talks about abundant love in these verses. God's love. Because of his love, he gives us that mercy. And as sometimes we sing, and this is a song, and some of you may know it. I'm not going to attempt to sing it because I'm no Merle Haggard. But sometimes we sing, there's a wilderness in God's mercy that is wider than the greatest sea. And so I know it covers even me. It's hard for us to imagine something without bounds. We have finite minds. We live in a finite world. And the concept of infinity is pretty abstract. We can't comprehend infinity. We can't. But God's mercy knows no bounds. In fact, so great is God's mercy that it is almost inexpressible. We can't describe it. God's mercy knows no limits. There is none who is beyond his saving power. There is no one beyond God's saving power. So why is this so important for us to grasp? Why, as we think about God's character, do we need to remind ourselves of the extent of God's mercy? The answer is because of our need of it. Because of our need of his mercy. If you really looked into the Bible, and if we're honest with ourselves, we will find out we deserve nothing. That's what mercy does for us. We all deserve death. The third thing that mercy does, oh, you're going to love this one, my friends. The third thing that mercy does, it is available to all. Ooh. Pop, somebody's bubble, I guess, here tonight. They got some out there thinking, nah, Jim, mercy ain't available to everybody. I don't know. I don't know where you're getting that from. Getting it from here. Jesus died for all. God's word tells us that. So when someone tells you who claims to be a follower of Christ said, oh, wait a minute, mercy's not for everyone. Oh, yes, it is. That's how God would prefer it. God would rather everybody saved. Unfortunately, many don't. But mercy is available to all. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. More precisely in this passage, when you read it, it is available to all who call upon God. It's available to all who calls upon his name. You know, folks, look, our doctrine, our theology is very important. It's very important. And we must not neglect it. That's why I always say a lot, we must study to prove ourselves. But it is very important. But in all the arguments and all the discussions about all sorts of doctrines, who is right? Who is wrong? We all got it messed up. And we sometimes get so wrapped up in trying to prove each other's doctrine or the theory or the theology, we sometimes lose the sight of the fact that the offer of God's mercy is free and available to all. You get that? When so many, when I see born-again Christians are fighting, you know, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Orthodox Christianity, and they're always fighting. Oh, your doctrine's wrong. No, your doctrine's wrong. No, your doctrine. Oh, no, no. And they're doing more harm to the gospel than anything. They're forgetting one important thing. Mercy, salvation through Jesus Christ. They lose sight. They lose their focus. They're trying to prove each other wrong. That's when mercy is not. God's mercy is available to all who calls upon his name. Brothers and sisters, please, let us not limit God's mercy. And if we are not careful, we can do this in our own minds, in our lives, in our church life, with other Christians. And we feel deep down that there are only certain people somehow beyond God's mercy. We think that. Some of us do. I'm not going to name any names, but I have ran across Christians who think, well, you know what? There is something that's beyond God's mercy. It's simply not true. I'm sorry if you don't agree with that, but folks, it's simply not true. It's available to all. So let us not place limits upon God's mercy. It is not our right to do so. That right, my friends, belongs to God Himself. That's who decides. We don't. We're not the judge. God is. I do know from scriptures, because I had a hard time with it one time when I came across that passage when it says it rains on the just and the unjust. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I had a big problem with that passage. Whoo! I had a big problem with it. I said, well, wait a minute. No, that can't be. I'm sorry. I don't agree with it. They're rotten sinners. They're filthy. They're going to hell. They don't want God. They don't want Jesus. How can He grain on them and He should do me better? See, folks, I was putting a limit on God's mercy. None of us is the judge. We don't know. That's only in the hands of the Almighty God. He decides. If He decides, I'll grant you some mercy. We don't know. Don't limit God's mercy. The fourth thing, my throat. The fourth thing that mercy does for us, and this is the best of all. The fourth thing that mercy does for us, it is guaranteed to us. It's guaranteed to us. Look what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And this is one, many of my favorite passages, folks. And it says, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Wow. You see, my friends, in this passage, when we become born again, we were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And with the Spirit, we see a merciful God. And we see the free and abundant mercy He showers upon us. It is guaranteed. How refreshing, therefore, to hear God's mercy is guaranteed. Look at Psalms 86:7. Look what it says. Psalms 86:7, which says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Oh, that got to be a typo, right? Come on, someone tell me that's a typo, right? Says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon you, for you will answer me. Apparently not. It's not a typo. If I make a claim that it is, that's putting a limit on God's mercy. His word says so right there. And here what we see, David himself absolutely was certain 100% of God's response. No doubt, he was certain 100%. He knew. There's no question of doubt in his mind. And for us born again believers, there is no doubt in our minds neither. God hears us and shows us mercy. Paul also said this in Romans chapter 10, verse 11. He's reiterating a little bit what David was saying in Psalms. And it says this: whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. Thank you. Whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And what this is telling us, folks, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Folks, that is mercy. And it holds no bounds, no limits. See, there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. There's some out there that tries to make that claim. I'm sorry, folks, but there's no difference. According to that, there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord, the only Lord, is the Lord of all, who richly blesses all who calls on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And what Paul is doing here, he's echoing the words of Jesus. When Jesus himself said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. That's not me saying this. Jesus Christ said that. He said, whoever comes to me, I will never drive you away. Most times, it's us Christians that drive other people away, not Jesus. We handle God's words a lot of times the wrong way. We don't show that mercy to that person like mercy was shown to us. And because sometimes of our actions, the way we handle the word and authority, we drive them away. But Jesus himself said that I will never drive them away. We need to rethink how mercy works. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this tonight. And I had to think about this one for a while because, you know, honestly, I was never led to a message on mercy because I never gave it no thought. I heard a lot of sermons, you know, some talk about mercy. We hear many songs, sings about mercy. But I never got into a good, detailed description of God's mercy to be presented in a message. And what I found, God's mercy is guaranteed. We need to believe in the Bible. That is the problem we have when we lack assurance. Many people doubt so much, they don't trust the Bible. Folks, we need to trust God's words. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when we doubt, we're lacking assurance. So we need to believe. Believe in your heart. Everything that the Word of God says. Everything. Believe. Believe and you receive. It must be. The Bible tells us that God's mercy is assured. Guaranteed. We feel sometimes, at times, yes, hey, we feel at times, hey, it's not. We feel that way. Nothing wrong. So what does that mean? Simply saying, whenever we, and I'm not trying to be hard on this, folks, please forgive me. But when we don't actually believe it, we doubt it very badly. What we are saying, we are doubting the Bible. We're doubting his words. What we are saying, we are unable to take God at His word. I want to assure you tonight, let us see that God's mercy is guaranteed. Let us see. Let us see that God's mercy is guaranteed. Don't let the world make you think any different. Don't let the world tell you any different. You want to know what God's mercy is all about? It's all right here. Believe. Believe. Wow, what a God we have, don't we? And my dear friends in Christ, our sins is great. It is. But God's mercy is even greater. Our sins is enormous. But yet God's mercy is without boundaries. Our sins drives a wedge between ourselves and God. But yet God's mercy is freely available to all who call on Him and comes with a solid lifetime guarantee. You surrender yourself to Him, it's guaranteed. So call on Him. And whether you have never done so before or not, those of you who's listening, maybe watching, if you never called upon Him, truly, truly, before or not, or however long that you have followed Him, appeal to Him and call upon His mercy today. Let Him shower you with that mercy. See, a debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with your righteousness on my person and offering to bring. The terrors of law and God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hides all my transgressions from view. And because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive. Makes us alive with Christ. And even when we were dead to our transgressions, it is by grace. It is by grace that we are saved. Oh, what a wonderful, merciful God. It was God who raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Whew. All because of this, mercy walked in while we was in the court facing the judge. Folks, that is what mercy does when it walks in. That's what mercy does when it walks in. Amen. Let's pray.